Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph says, "Vayomer Shmuel." I'll call Yisrael, and Neshamati Bekolchem, Chorashamatim Levam Lichalecha Melech. So Shmuel, now be not bitter, but yet upset at Bnei Yisrael. I said, listen, I've listened to your voices, to everything you told me, and I made you the king. You asked me to make a king, I made you a king. Okay? And going through some Shevet Binyamin, but the king, that's all he now Melech Mithalach Bifnechem. Now the king is going to walk in front of you. Not like what you wanted, where you wanted the king to be with you, wherever you guys went. He is in front of you. Then he's a Kanti Vashabasavi. I am old, and, I don't want to say decrepit, just, you know, hoary, I think is the word that the English uses it for. Do you guys, no, you don't know the English. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Uvanai hinam itchem. My children are with you. Vanisa lakta with mechem nuraiti omazeh. I walked in front of you from my youth up until that day. Now, first of all, Chazal Darshan from this over here, that the children of Shmuel really didn't do any chatayim. That as much as they say that the Bnei Shmuel did not act like Shmuel, they didn't act like Shmuel, but they weren't sinners. Chas v'shalom to say that. Vanai hinam itchem. They're with you. You guys see them. You know how great they are. You see that they were tremendous people. Still, you should answer me. Opposite God and opposite His anointed one, which is Shaul. Whose ox or donkey have I taken? Who did I oppress? Who did I crush? From whose hand did I take kofar? You know, a little bit of pain. Of Ali Meinai Bo. And I have hidden my eyes from him. Well, she become, then I will return your money to you. Anybody that I might have done anything to, that I might have had anything with, so I'll do it. I'll give it back. Whatever you guys need, I'll give it back to you. So that's what he told the people. You did not oppress us. You did not crush us. You did not take anything from any man. And they all admitted to it, everybody. Let God be a witness from you. And let his anointed one be the witness. That it wasn't me that caused anything, because he was afraid of a great kitchuk. In Shemayim, there would be an accusation against Shmuel. And I mean, during your times, that's when the Bnei Yisrael chose a melech, and that's why these bad things happened to them in the future. Shmuel said, it wasn't me. I want to make sure that you know this wasn't me. What's up?
But it wasn't for a lack of anything he did or didn't do that they chose a king. It's just that
the reality thereof, that was there.
Yeah.
Yair, can you grab it from my shender?
And he didn't even have a choice either. God told him to.
No, it's true. Well, what do you mean God told him to after he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do? Meaning, the people went up to him first, and that was that. So I agree with you. I mean, obviously, he was forced to, but what he's trying to say is that I want to make sure that you guys know that when you forced me to do it, it wasn't because I did anything wrong. I didn't do anything. And they said, true. And from that, the end of the pasuk says, Kilometers Miyam Huma, Bayomer Aid. He said, it is a witness. Now, this seems to be that the Bnei Yisrael answered as one, that they had actus with one another, and they said that nothing had happened, right? But really, Bayomer, says Rashi, is referring to a baskol.
Right.
Baskol called out from Shemayim and said, right, aid, that I am a witness, that this is true, that you never did anything wrong. It was one of the three places. The other place was Yehuda and Tamar, right? Mean many Hadavar, says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was all for me and I'm the one that did it. I forgot what the third one is. Anybody remember? The third one was... offhand, I don't remember. But Yom HaShmuel. Shmuel and Abi said along to the people, Hashem... Asher also has Moshe Beth Aaron, Asher Helos, Hosech Meretz, God who has made Moshe and Aaron, who made them into the people that they were, to be his shluchim, right? Who brought out your fathers from the land of Mitzrayim. Now the line that's given over here, Asher also has Moshe Beth Aaron, the reason why he says he made Moshe and Aaron, he said, Moshe Aaron, Avu Shmuel, Bekore Shemo. Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel are equal to one another in a certain way, and that's what it refers to. Now it's like, Yatzvu V'yishafe Yitchem L'tnei Hashem, and now stand, and I will judge together with you in front of Hashem. It's called Tzidkos Hashem, Asher also Yitchem, that's Abu Seichem. All the righteousness that God has done together with you and together with your fathers. Let's go through everything. Let's try to understand what exactly a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I am going to fight with you. Was this worth it for you guys to do, to ask for a king? Is this true, or did a Kadosh Baruch Hu do tremendous things? Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov was Hashem. Your fathers called out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yishach Hashem is Moshe. Aaron Hashem sent Moshe. They brought them to this place. It's interesting, isn't it? So he sent Moshe and Aaron. Would you have said that? Wouldn't you have just said by Yishlach Hashem is Moshe?
Was it a Gilgal of both of them, or was it only Moshe?
Not a Gilgal. He wasn't. He was connected with Moshe and Aaron. In other words,
both of them.
They were equal in stature, so to speak. Now, obviously, no one's equal to Moshe Rabbeinu when it comes to Nevuah, but in his generation, the way that people looked at Shmuel was the way that people looked at Moshe and Aaron. I just find it strange that when you say, who took you out of Mitzrayim? Moshe and Aaron?
Well, Aaron was no slouch.
There's no question.
He was there every step of the way.
So put in Miriam.
He was doing all the
Miriam also.
No, but Aaron.
Miriam sinned.
But I hear what you're saying. Well, that was, Aaron did as well.
No, Aaron was put up to it.
What do you mean? And anyway, that happened.
No, but Aaron helped with the process of he did some of the mock-up.
Okay, that I agree with. Aaron wasn't, there's no
Miriam
question.
Miriam wasn't anything.
There's
she
no
was just going for the ride.
That he was an extremely major part in all this. There's no question about that. But I don't know. If I'm telling you who took you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to say Moshe, but I'm not going to say Aaron. Aaron obviously had his part, right? Nachshon and Aminadav had his part. Hur had his part. Miriam had her part. Aaron had a bigger part than the
Aaron,
others. That's true.
Except for Moshe, had the biggest part, so...
Okay, I guess so. I just wouldn't put them on the same level, but I guess I hear it.
Here, most of Rashi says,
yeah.
Shmuel Navi Amar Li Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Lachem Nisim, Al Yidei Shisha Zekeinim Halu. Moshe of Aaron, Yerubal
is Gidon.
Bedan,
that's Shem Shon.
The Yiftach or Shmuel.
Okay, I mean, that's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. What he's basing on is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah called Hamad Aleph, where it compares Aaron, Moshe, and Shmuel to Gidon, Yiftach, and Shimshon, and saying they're equal to one another, and each
so
one is
faster
to one another.
Them.
I agree, but over here, I don't
it's
understand. No, that's why he set it up in Pasuk Vav.
How else would
Hold on. That's in Pasuk Vav. Over here, when it says that they took you, Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron, that is no shaykhus to that. This is unnecessary. This, I would have said, no, Yishlach Hashem is Moshe.
Yeah, but in the context of history, so to speak, where would you put Aaron?
I would put him underneath.
No, but how would you like refer to him? He helped take the Jews out of Egypt.
He was the Kohen Gadol. That's his place in history.
Big deal.
Took them out of Egypt. I don't know.
So who cares?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have said took them out of Egypt. He didn't. He didn't get the Nevuos. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was sent, you're right, by Moshe Rabbeinu to go do certain things in Mitzrayim.
What?
Totally, yes.
Maybe,
the signs and three makos.
Help Moshe take.
Yeah, that's what I would agree with. It would help Moshe.
You mentioned that he was helping Moshe.
To put him on the same level, Yishlach Hashem, S Moshe, the S Aaron. That I don't like. Just a line. That I don't like so much. But either way, Tess, by Yishlachu with Hashem Elokeihem, they forgot Hashem their God. The Yimkos and Biad Sisra starts Machatzor, will be at Pelishtim. Okay, so God sold them into the hands of Sisra. Notice, by the way, he skipped what's it called? Eglon, the king of Moab. Did not mention him, right? But he does say Sisra, the general Chatzor, in the hands of the police, will be Admelach Moab, the king of Moab. That could be what's his name? Eglon. And it was one. They called out to Hashem. Yom Chatan. Yomru. They said Chatan. Yazra Zavni was Hashem. We forgot. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Avodah Zarah. Baalim. That's Asharos. Atot. Zelinim. Yadavinim. Adeka. We serve the Baalim and the Asharos. You should know that the Mishnah always says over here that the Baalim were masculine gods and the Asharos were feminine gods. That's why. One is masculine, one is feminine. That each one represented something else in the Baalim. Were many different ones altogether. Yeah, so now, listen, save us from the hands of our enemies and let us serve Yishlach Hashem Zerubbabel, because the Dun is Yitzhak as Shmuel. Shem sent, and this is the pasuk that really you recorded before, Gidon, Shemshon, Yiftach, and Shmuel, Vyatel Scham Yarevechem, Vyisaviv, and they were saved from all of your enemies around. Vatechu Betach, you were living in surety, quiet surety, and that really is in my times. Vatechu Nachosh Melech Ben Amon Baalechem, you saw that Nachosh, the king of Amon, came upon you. Vatomeli, Lo, Kim Melechim Lokalenu, and he said, no, we want a king. Hashem, your God, should be your king. This is also a very strange line. It wasn't the king of Ammon that got them thinking they wanted a king. It was the Plishtim that got them thinking they wanted a king. The first king to fight them when Shaul became king was Nachash, the king of Ammon. But the Plishtim were the reason why they were so scared. So that's a strange line.
Well, why did they... If they have Shmuel, and Shmuel functioned, did he not function like a king?
He did not. He functioned as a Navi. Functioned as a Navi.
But he was
meant,
a leader. And even after Shmuel became king, he was still like...
I will tell you what, it means that he was stronger. Stronger in spirit, right, than a regular king.
Yeah, and meant, stature.
In order to deserve the greatness of Shmuel and Navi, you had to be special. Meaning, the people were living in miraculous times, as we said from the Amloys, I believe, last week. The people were living in miraculous times during the times of the Shoftim. In order to merit that level of miracles, you had to do a lot, and that they weren't willing to do. That was the problem. They weren't willing to do such things. They wanted a king, which would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier for everybody. That was their line. Let's just be normal. Let's have a regular king like everybody else, and we'll wage natural wars. We don't need supernatural wars. We don't need 300 people defeating
supernatural
an army.
Supernatural wars better? I'd rather have like God say, okay, do this, and I'll do everything for you.
It would, yes, the supernatural roles are better if it wouldn't cost so much on my part.
Well, it's costing
so, you have to be God-fearing, you have to be showing mitzvahs, you have to just...
Who wants to do those two things? No, but I hear it. Like, you have to be on an extreme level. They work. When you're not on it, you don't deserve it. So they didn't want that. Every time, think about how the Shoftim went. You were up, you were down, you were up, you were down. They didn't want that anymore. They just wanted steadiness.
They were up in a,
and that's what Shmuel and Abi was telling them, that you're not going to get that. That's all you need. Here, now, here is the king that you have chosen, that you asked for. Listen, God put upon you a king in Tirus Hashem. If you fear God, you serve Him. Listen to His voice. And you don't rebel against the mouth of the Lord. And you will be together with the king that is king over you. If you follow a Kaddish Baruch, then everything will be good. But if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, you will rebel. Then it's going to be really bad. This is the hand of God is against you, but not only on you, against your fathers. You know what that line is? Not only do you get judged every Rosh Hashanah, your fathers, even those that are in Shemayim, also get judged at the exact same time. And they also get judged based on what happened to you. Because they grew you up. They raised you. They're the ones who helped you. And unfortunately, it becomes a bizarion for them if you yourselves do something wrong. We say there.
It's interesting that God chose them a key for... God chose them a king as opposed to they going out and choosing them for themselves.
And saying that they wanted one. Well, yeah, once you're asking for one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have chosen in the first place. Maybe Shaul HaMelech would have been the next Navi. Shaul HaMelech might have been the next Navi instead of Shmuel. Maybe that would have happened. Right, just remember, it's interesting because David HaMelech was always around. He's not that young. I mean, he wasn't tremendously young. He was 26, maybe 27 when Shaul became king. Not like he was a little kid or anything. Okay, Gamatem, it says over here, in Tezayin. Gamatol, he's Yatvur was Hazabra Gagodzeh. I want you to stand and see this great thing. Asher Hashem will say, Elev Nechem, that Hashem is doing in front of your eyes. Hadok Tzir Chitim Ayom, isn't it the day of reaping the wheat today? Now, when did you reap the wheat? At what point of year? Shavuos is correct. Asher Hashem will say, Elev Nechem, Hashem is doing this in front of your eyes. He's going to do so. I'm sorry, that Ekrel Hashem, I will call out to Hashem, Yitin Kol Zumotu, you will bring lightning and rain. And you will know and you will seek your askam rabo asher asisa mei Hashem, that your evil is much in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishu l'cham melech by asking for a king by doing such a thing. Yikra Shmuel Hashem Shmuel called out to Hashem Reitan Hashem kolus and malter by Yimahua. Hashem brought lightning and rain on that day by Yirikol on the oid as Hashem Shmuel. The people were very afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well as Shmuel. They were very, very afraid. But Yemukul Amel Shmuel, he spalo ba'adavadecho al Hashem Elokecha. They said to Shmuel, the people all together, Daven for your servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al-Namuz, do not let us die. They mamash were afraid of death from this rain that happened in the middle of the day on Shavuos. We have added on to all of our sins more evil by asking for us for a king. Now the good people were saying that. Not everybody was saying that. The other people were like, ah, take it. We'll take it like a man because we need this king. But there were people that said that Alto, do not be afraid that you have done this very evil thing. Just don't turn back from Hashem. Just don't do that. You should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart. Do not turn after the garbage that will not help you, and it will not save you. It's all a bunch of garbage. So don't go after all that. Hashem will not forsake his name, but for his great and holy name. Hashem will help you to become the nation that he wants you to be. Also, I, Chalila, that I would sin to God by stopping to daven for you. Chas Hashem, I would never do such a thing. But I have taught you and will continue to teach you in the ways that are good and straight. I will continue to do the Tov and the Yashar in front of your eyes. Says Shmuel and Abi, I will not go off that. So that's that. He may have stopped walking around as the judge. And at this point, he probably was not going around from city to city. He was an old man already. And it's possible that he would have stopped himself from doing so. Not old, but he felt older than he actually was. That was the beginning of the parak. So it's possible that that's when he stopped going around. Regardless, this is what he did. Ach Yeru, Yeru. Guys, can you give me what word is that?
What Re'u?
Re'u? No Yud?
No Yud. This is Ki Re'u.
Kiru?
Re'u.
Not Achru? Chav Dalet. How do you pronounce that? Yeru?
Yeru.
That's a weird word. Does everybody have that?
Yeah.
Yeru. I don't think I've ever seen it that way.
Yeru.
Wouldn't it be Yeru? You know, Dick took a little bit.
Yeru.
What do you guys have at the bottom?
No, it's a command. When it's a command, it's the word, and then it says it was a Shiva underneath.
That's what it has to be? So yeah. Yeru. That's what it is?
Yeah. Because the Yud is part of the Shoresh. It's not a you should do this.
Yeru. It should be Shiru.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Yeru, you should. Yeah, Tiru, you should fear.
I'm telling you to write, all right, Ketov. Or Ketov, write it.
Ketov.
Yeru, fear him.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeru is the Shem Vamarasim, was of Emes. Serve him in truth. The whole of with all of your hearts. Who is Asher Hibdil Imachem? You see, or see, how much he has done with Yivim. Hareyat Hareyu, if you keep doing evil, Gamatem Gamachem, Zavu, then you'll all die. That's a great way to end the parak, isn't it? Tremendous. Ben Shana Shol Malko. So there's a lot of different stuff over here. Some say the Shol literally had been king for only 1 year. Others say there is no way that Shol was only king for 2 years. There's no way he could have done everything that he did in 2 years. He was king for 4 years. 4 years, right? And what it means by this over here, Ben Shana Shol Malko, it was 1 year where Shol was like a baby in his kingdom. It was like he literally started all over because he wasn't accepted by the people until the second time around, remember? He became king, but then he was fully accepted later. And two shanim, Malach HaYisrael, he was king for 2 years of Bnei Yisrael from that point forward. Right? You call those shanim,
Rashi, Rashi quotes Yuma that says he didn't sin for a year.
He was like a one-year-old that was as if he never sinned. That's what I was trying to say. That it was as if he was a little kid, that he hadn't done anything wrong. Ba'iv Karlo Shol 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 Yisrael. He had chosen 3,000 of the choicest of the Jews. Ba'yuim Shol. They were all together with Shol. Alpayim B'Michmash U'Bahar Bezel. 2,000 were in Michmash in the mountain of Bezel. Ba'elef Hayu and Yonasan B'Givas B'Nyaman. 1,000 were with Yonasan and Givas B'Nyaman. Yisrael Am Shilach Ish Lo Alot. He sent all the rest of the people back. Ba'ach Yonasan is the Nitzit Plishtim. Asher Begeva, Yonasan killed the princes of the Plishtim that were in the city called Geva. Now we don't know where Geva is. Yonasan, the son of Shaul.
Yeah, but he's never introduced.
It doesn't say Yonasan or Shaul, it just says Yonasan. But maybe later on it says that.
If I remember correctly, didn't we say that Shaul had 5 kids, 3 sons, 2 daughters?
Is that right? I don't know.
It's possible that we didn't, and that I'm just looking ahead because I remember seeing it in the Amalays. But regardless, the Ach Yonasan is in the Sea Plishtim. For Geva. Where is Geva? Geva might be Giva, right, with a Peleg ish be Giva, and it might be Giba, right, which is another area, which was near the Plishtim. Yishmu Plishtim, a Shol, talk of a Shofar. The Plishtim heard what had happened, right, they had done so. Shol immediately blew on the Shofar, Bechalorot, Lamor, Yishmu, Ephraim. Now, what Yonasan had done was basically going up against the Plishtim in their own homeland. Yonasan went into their town, and he's like, Shalom Aleichem, guys, Shalom Aleichem, and he took out his sword and smashed the heads of all the leaders of the Plishtim. Now they knew there was going to be retribution. They knew that they were going to retaliate the Plishtim. And there was a major problem with that. What was the major problem that was going on at the time? What was the biggest problem that you think was going on at this time?
With
the Plishtim. What do you think the biggest issue was?
The Plishtim probably think that they were rebelling if they appointed a king.
But it was even worse. There was no metal in the land of Israel at the time. The Plishtim had taken over all of it, which meant that there were no swords to be found in all of Eretz Yisrael. So Yonasan had a sword, as we're going to see. He took it from the Plishtim, or he was given it miraculously by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he had a sword. But once he fought, Shol immediately blew on the shofar to get everybody ready. Know, guys, that there's going to be a war. The Plishtim are going to fight us. They're not going to let this go. They said, Yishmo Ephraim, let the Ephraim hear it. Yes.
In the beginning of Perek Tet, when we're introduced, you know, Vayhi Ish, Mivinyam, and Shmo.
Yeah.
So it just says, Velo Hayabain, Shmo, Shol, Bokhor, Vatov. It doesn't say anything.
No, not yet. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was a little bit later on. So you're right. This may be the first time that we see Yonasan. Okay, and he says, "Dalit." Mekol Yisrael shamu lemor. All Bnei Yisrael heard saying, meaning they told over to one another. Hika Shol since he pleased him. Shol killed the prince of the Plishtim. Meaning they attributed it to Shol because they thought it was by his command that he had done this. The Gamnivash Yisrael b'Plishtim. Bnei Yisrael are now looked bad upon. They're now looked at, you know, as nobodies in the Plishtim. Right? So Aku Amakrei Shol and Gilgal. The people, you know, went after Shol. They went to Gilgal. They thought that there was tremendous bravery. Only later on did they realize, oh my gosh, what's Shaul doing over here? Plishtim Netzvul Yilachem in Yisrael, Shloshim Elef Recha V'Shish Elef Aparashim. Listen to this. The Plishtim had gathered to wage war with Bnei Yisrael. They had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. Ba'am Kachol HaShel Sati Yam. They had a people that was as numerous as the sand on the banks of the sea, La Rove. That's how many there were. They went and they camped by Michmash, Kidmas Beis Oven, by the east of a city called Beis Oven. The Ish Yisrael Row Ki Sarlo, the men of Yisrael saw that it was looking really bad. Kinigasha Arm by Yishabu on the Ma'aro said the people, the police had come near. They started hiding in caves of Bachabachim and in certain pits, Ubat Sloiman in the rocks, Ubat Srichim of Aboros in different pits, all over the place. They started hiding everywhere. The Ibrim Abros Yardin, there were Ibrim, people that originally came from the other side of the Jordan River, who crossed over the Jordan River to the east. Eretz Gad, the Gilad. They went to Gad, Gilad, and Reuven. The Sholo then about Gilgal, but Shol stayed in Gilgal. The people all were afraid, but they stayed behind him. Pasuk Ches, Vayochel, Shivat Yamin Lamoed Asher Shmuel. Now, he waited 7 days. Shmuel and Avi, if you remember, said to him, I want you to wait for 7 days for me to come. He waited those 7 days for the Moed that Shmuel said. Now, this is scary for the people. The people didn't know why Shaul was waiting. Shaul didn't feel like he had to explain himself. The people are only seeing that the Plishtim are crossed. They could fight at any time, and they had no idea what they were doing. They didn't have any weapons. They had no weapons. They said, well, what's going on? The Loba Shmuel HaGilgal. Shmuel would not come to Gilgal, and I would assume that means that they even sent messengers to Shmuel to say, come, let's go. Get it, you know, it's time for us to go, and Shmuel did not come. But that was on the Elov, and the people started scattering. Little by little, this person, that person, everybody started leaving. Vayomer Shaul, Hagishu Elaya Oila Vashlamin, Vayala Ola. So Shaul said, alright, bring me the Ola, bring me the Shlamin. It's late, it's already around Mincha time. Let's bring up the Ola, let's bring up the Shlamin. And he brought up the Ola. After he had finished bringing up the Ola, and instead was ready to do a Shlamin. Now don't ask, how could he do this? Shaul HaMelech was from Shevet and Yamin, because A, it could have been that a Kohen did it, and just Shaul commanded to do it, and that's why it's attributed. B, remember, it's a Bama. And in a Bama, anybody's allowed to be Makar. That's not that big of a deal. Okay? It's being a Shmuel Bar, Shmuel came, by Yitzhak Shaul to cross the Levor, and Shaul came out to greet him in order to bless him. By Yomar Shmuel, Ma'asisa, what in the world did you do? Said Shmuel. What did you do? By Yomar Shaul, Kira Isi Kinafata Amialai. Look, I saw that the people were scattered from in front of me. That's a little bustle and moida yamim. You didn't come in the time of days. You said you were going to come in by Uplishim and stuff in Michmash, and the Plishim had gathered at Michmash. The Omar and I said, Ata Yirdu Plishim Elia Gilgal. The Plishim are going to come to me at Gilgal, Panasham Lukhalisi, and I had not yet davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I hadn't done anything yet, and I was worried. That's a pak mo'ala ola. And I was worried, and I brought up the ola. Now, this was a tremendous lack of leadership on Shaul's part. When the going gets tough, when there's pressure, and you feel like you have to do something, Shaul was notorious for making bad decisions. This was one of them. Amalek is yet another one, where he keeps alive certain people from Amalek when he was pressured by the people. We're going to see later on he makes another mistake by keeping Yonasan alive or making a crazy shvua against the people. And then later on, unfortunately, makes a crazy mistake where he has to speak to God, so he calls up Shmuel through the Baal HaZov. Shaul HaMelech made terrible mistakes when he was pressured, and that's a bad leader. You can't have that as a king. A king that is bad under pressure, I don't want to compare him to a possible president that we might have in our White House right now, but somebody making bad decisions under pressure is not a great leader.
Yeah, but what did he do that was so wrong?
Shaul HaMelech?
Yes.
He brought the olas before Shmuel came, which he was not supposed to do. Shmuel said specifically, do not bring any korbanos until I come. That he was not allowed to do. So that's what he did. I mean, you could say that he's doing like the Kiddush rule. You know, if somebody's not there yet and you're expecting him for a meal, just make Kiddush and they'll for sure come. So he did that. He made the Ola and he's like, oh, now Shmuel. Now Shmuel is coming, right? But that's that. Whenever Shmuel is supposed to give Gimel, Niskolta, you have been foolish. Imagine saying that to a king. You have been a fool of a took. Lo shamarta es mitzvah Hashem Elokecha. You have not kept the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher tzivok, that is commanded you. Now, Hashem had prepared your kingdom to be there forever. Now, the male noise immediately brings up, what does it mean forever? Saul was never supposed to be king forever, because from Shevet Binyamin, he was only supposed to be a steward, waiting for the times when Yehuda was going to be the king. That was the whole point in the first place. So what does it mean, Ad Olam? So either Ad Olam means you're still supposed to be here for a long time. Supposed to be there. Some say it means until Yovel. It was supposed to be up until the point of Yovel. Others say, no, he was always supposed to be somewhat of a king forever. That was always going to be. Was he going to be the ultimate king? The king of Yehuda? Was he going to do? Yes. He was going to be a leader of Shevet, of somebody to help Shevet Yehuda. That's what he was supposed to do. Meaning that was his job. His job was to be able to help him to do something like that. And when he didn't do it, he didn't do it. That he was going to be punished for. And that was the big problem over here. So that's the idea of what it was. So he said, right, that Ad Olam. And that's what it means, that you were ready to do it up until that time. That's all. And now, Mamlachtecha lo zakum. Your kingdom will not last. Your kingdom will not last. Bikesh Hashem lo ish kilvavo. Hashem wants a man according to his heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to be a prince on his nation. And he's going to be the prince because you did not keep what God commanded you to do. Shmuel got up and he went from Gilgal up to Givas Binyamin. Shmuel counted the people that were with him. He had 600 men left. 600 men left. The Shaul of Yonasan Beno.
There
was Shaul and Yonasan his son. The Amanim Tzimam, the people that were with him, Yoshim and Gevah Binyamin, they were sitting by Gevah Binyamin, the police in front of the Mechmash and the police, were camped by Mechmash. And now we find out that he was Yonasan. But this is amazing over here. Shaul again made a mistake. So now what's he supposed to do? Why are you still there? Go find out from Shmuel. You're supposed to. Okay, he left. So follow him until he tells you what to do. What are you doing right now?
Maybe he wanted your leadership.
The too little, too late award was just given to Shaul HaMelech.
Right.
Granted, like, okay, you have leadership, but you have to show leadership at the right time. This is not the right time. This is the time to ask. So now what? Okay, so I can't do this. And now what? What am I supposed to do now?
That's a weird thing to do, though. Shmuel comes. He tells him he's coming. He doesn't come necessarily when he tells him.
Yeah.
And then he comes to tell him that he did something wrong, and then he leaves.
I mean, seemingly yes. Seemingly yes.
It's odd.
It's strange. First of all, you have to wonder, why did Shmuel delay in coming?
Right.
Was this a test, Shaul HaMelech? And if it was a test, I mean, was that fair? Did Hashem tell Shmuel to do this? Or did Shmuel do it on his own? Because I would say that's very unfair. Very unfair.
Maybe that's when Shmuel intended to come. He came, he said, I'll come Thursday. And it was Thursday sunset at 6 o'clock, and he got there at 5:30.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what happened. It's not that he wasn't right. Of course he was right. That's just a little mean. It is mean. It's difficult for Shaul to have passed such a test. And I know we expect Shaul to be perfect, and I hear that. He's the king.
It's hard to travel in those days.
I agree and disagree at the same time. He knew where Shaul was. Send a message ahead. And that's why I also said it's likely when it says that Shmuel wouldn't come, it sounds like he sent messages to him and he wouldn't come. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he wouldn't come.
How would God told him?
No. So that's the kasha. Was Shmuel given some type of a... So the destroying army went out from the Machane Pelishtim with three heads. One head was by Derech Ophrah, right by the land of Shul. Some say that was the name of a land that was known for its foxes. Okay, maybe it was a place where Shimshon brought all those foxes. I have no idea. There was another area that went up to an area called Beis Choron. Right, where that was by the hyenas, Amidbara, toward the desert itself. You should also know that there were no carpentry throughout all Bnei Yisrael. I don't want the Jews to make any type of sword or spear. I want them to do it without all this stuff, and that's that. So Bnei Yisrael, when they wanted something, they had to go down to the land of the Pelishtim in order to make their own plowshares or their, I don't know the different words over here. Well, what do you got over here?
The accent.
The what? I'm sorry? What's ASO?
Each man has plowshares, his coulter, his
coulter?
C-O-U-L-T-E-R? C-O-U-L-T-E-R.
I have no idea what that is. Okay. Kind of was his axe, and it sounds like it was his plowing blade.
Madak.
Oh, Madak? Oh, because what's the difference between Maharashto and Maharashto? Okay. We'll pretend like we know what that is. Tzirapim, and then I forgot what the wording is over here.
There was a file for the meta.
Oh, there was, right. They didn't even have like regular sharpening instruments. They didn't have that. What did they have? They had a file. They had a file where they would sharpen their instruments, and that's what it was, right? For the Maharishos and the Asim, the Shosh Kilshon and the Kardumim, and even to make the pegs. That's all they had.
It was a three-pronged pitchfork.
I should have known. So the day of war, the whole people didn't have a sword or a spear. Asher as Shol, as Yonatan, except for Shol and Yonatan. But Timotel Shol, Yonatan, but no, there was found for Shol and Yonatan, his son. Now, what does it mean there was found? Rashi says, Al Yidenes. That all of a sudden they got one, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a sword and a spear for them to be able to fight. The other Pashut Pshat is that they were the king. Since they were the king, they found one, and they gave it over to Shol and Yonatan. That they were the first people to get. The matzav of the plishim, the whole camp of the plishim went over to Mavar Mechmosh. That's where they were, and that's where they were standing. Now again, we know that already. We know that that's where they were, but it could be that they had moved down to the slope of Mechmosh. That's where they were.
In like the Gaza area. What are they doing all the way there?
I think by this time they had taken over a lot of Eretz Yisrael. That was the reason why. It wasn't that day. Yonatan ben Shaul and Nar Nosei Kalev. Yonatan ben Shaul said to the boy who was carrying his weapons, listen, let's go over and pass over to the matzah of the pollution. Hashem, Abraham, Allah said, is on this side. He did not tell his father he was going to go. This basically was a suicide mission. Yonatan decided that if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to be in the schus of Klal Yisrael. And he decided he'll go on his own. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save them, he can save them in the hands of two people instead of 600. So why not do it in two people and make a bigger Kiddush Hashem, cause the people to start talking. He was also, it seems like, he's very impetuous. Doesn't it seem that way from what Yonatan did, killing the Nsive Aplishim before Sarni Aplishim and now doing this as well? It seems that he's a bit impetuous, like too quick to go. Hakaz Kamayim, as they say about Reuben. What's the word for it? I don't know. Zealous for what he believes in. Shol Yoshe B'Ktzeh Agiva. Shol sat at the edge of the hill of Tachaz Arimon, underneath a certain pomegranate tree, Asher B'Migron, that was growing in that area called Migron. Again, the people that were with him was about 600 men, not even 600, about. Achio ben Achituv, Achi Kavod ben Pinchas ben Eli HaKohen, Hashem Beshilo Nosei Ephod. Now we specifically mention Achio, the son of Achituv, who is the older brother of Ikavod. How do I know he's the older brother of Ikavod?
He's the last person
to be born. Ikavod was right, the last child to have been born. Son of Pinchas, son of Eli HaKohen, Hashem Beshilo Nosei Ephod. He was carrying the Ephod at that time. He was a tremendous tzaddik. Amlo Yodak Yalach Yonasan. The people had no idea that Yonasan was gone. I'm just pointing out something over here. Look at this very carefully. Pinchas and Eli were dead not so long ago. How long was Shmuel Navi on his own? 12 years. And then Shaul was king for 1 year. Okay? That meant that Achitu, who is the older brother but yet the son of Pinchas who just died, had a son who is now the Kohen Gadol. Seemingly, Achitu and Ikavod were both dead.
Why did they know that?
Otherwise, they would have been made Kohen Gadol because they were the older ones.
Wasn't Eli cursed that he, that
the children would die
no longer
early? That is correct, and that's the reason why I'm saying it. It seems clear that they died early and they had kids when they were very, very young, and Achia was made the Kohen Gadol to take over. Now, it does say Pinchas over here. Here is the drush as to what we said earlier, that although Chofni sinned, Pinchas did not. And that's why it says Ben Pinchas over here, that since Pinchas is mentioned with all these tzaddikim, he had never done anything wrong. Remember we mentioned that Pinchas and Chofni slept with the woman outside and we talked about that and everything? Pinchas did not. This is not Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. This is Pinchas ben Eli. Right, but he did not sin.
What's the meaning of those where's the pasuk?
Yeah.
Which one? The truck. Where's the meaning of the pasuk?
What, the pazer?
Yeah.
know, you never know with stuff like this. That I don't know. I don't know what that is. Ubeina ma'abros asher bikesh Yonasan labor al matzav aplishim, between the slopes where Yonasan wanted to cross over to the matzav aplishim, shein haselam eivrim yizeh, v'shein haselam eivrim yizeh, there was one thing of rocks on one side, one thing of rocks on the other side, v'shema echod votates, v'shema echod saneh. One of them was very, very clean, meaning it was a very smooth track, and the other one was very rocky. Those were the two sides on both sides in which they could cross. So again, the Pelishim were on one hill, the Jews were on another hill. In between there were slopes. The slopes to lead up to where the Pelishim were, one was heavy, you know, very rocky, and one was smooth. So he had to choose. He couldn't go up the smooth one. He went up the rocky one. One of them was stuck out from the north opposite Mechmash, but the other one was opposite the side of Geba. Let's go up to the Matzah of these Arelim. He called them Arelim. That was a bad name used. That was like a slang term. That was like, you know, a bad thing to call them. Maybe God will make for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no reason not to give, not to save, either with a lot or a little. It's possible we'll be able to get something out of it. There's no Sekelim Setchum. Do everything that you want to do. Turn for yourself. I am with you according to your heart. Whatever you want to do, I'm with you. It could be at first he wasn't with them. He's like, listen, dude, I don't know if I really want to do this with you, but I mean, yeah, but to go against an entire army by yourself, I'm not so sure he was willing to do. I'm not so sure that he was ready to do. But he said, Yonasan, I'm with you. I know you're a tzaddik. I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. But Yonasan said, behold, we are crossing over to the men, and we are going to appear to them. And they say to us, Domu adagienu aleichem, be silent, wait there until we get to you. Then we will stay in our places, and we will not go up to them, we will not say anything to them. That's what they say to us, we're not going anywhere. But if they say to us, come to us, then we should go up. That means God has put them into our hands, and that's our sign. Now,
where does he get off doing that?
So the question is, this seems to be something called nichush, which is superstition, to be able to say, either I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. That's what it definitely seems like. Right?
What about the fact that he thinks of himself so highly that
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a sign straight for him?
Not even for his father.
The Kasha, okay, so I've got to remember exactly what he says. This Gemara is not brought down among the three people who asked something incorrectly in Titus. There were three people who asked for something that was incorrect. One of them was Eliezer ben Abraham.
No,
he said, whichever girl comes by, and it could have been anybody, right? Could have been a Mamzeres, it could have been a terrible looking girl, could have been anything, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered correctly, and he got Rivka. Who else answered? Who else asked the question that was incorrect? The Gemara says that, I'm forgetting who the other two, the last one was Yiftach. Whatever comes out of my house first should be sacrificed. But it turned out to be his daughter. That was that. There was a second one, though. Oh my gosh, why do I keep forgetting number two? Anyway, there was a second one. So Tosus asks over there, and Rashi really does as well. Rashi and Tosus are very similar in Titus. That's, what about Kali? Kali said, whoever defeats Kiryat Sefer will have my daughter for a while. Oh, well, it was Shaul and David. That's it. Shaul HaMelech said, whoever kills Goliath will have my daughter as a husband, and he was lucky and he got Daphne Melech. It could have been anybody. But Kalig did the same thing, and it doesn't mention him. Kalig said, whoever destroys Kiryat Sefer will get my daughter. So Tosus gives two answers. Either number one, the Gemara in Shmura says that wasn't really defeating a city, it was learning Kiddushin, and that he knew would be a regular person and not somebody crazy. That's number one. And number two, he said he knew that it was going to be somebody around him, because the only people he said it to were the Talmidei Chachamim that surrounded him. So it's one of the 10 people, and the first person to do it was Ismail ben Kenaz, his half brother. So that's why he went ahead and said something to certain people. Then the Gemara asked, what about Yonasan? Yonasan said something crazy. He said, if I cut his brother, does this and that, how do we know that that's there? Okay. The Amluay's answers that the difference between Yehonasan and everybody else in any type of Nichush. I'm not saying it correctly. The way that I'm thinking it is, I don't remember exactly what he said. If I the way I'm thinking it is, once you already start doing something, and then you're trying to decide whether to not do it anymore or to keep doing it, that's when you say that's something bad. But if you haven't yet decided to do something, no, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's the opposite. It doesn't sound right. I think it might be the exact opposite. If you haven't yet decided to do something, right, and you're saying, if it rains, then I'm going on this road, and if it doesn't rain, then I'm going on that road, that's Nikush. But if you already made a decision, you got up and you said, I'm going to do something, I'm going to get around and do something like that, whatever it is, right?
Eliezer.
Like Eliezer ben Avraham, right? No, but that was beforehand, because nobody had come out yet. Nobody had come out and nobody had done anything.
Yeah, but he was on his way anyway.
He was on his way, but he didn't, nothing happened yet.
Whether it makes sense or not. Does the sign make sense? If it rains, it goes this way, if it doesn't rain, it's like, well, this way is
good.
Very
that's
shady.
The other answer. Good.
So that makes
that's
sense.
Exactly it. That's the second thing. Hold on. Let me get this one down first. Once you're already in it, he was already fighting the policemen. Now the only question was, should he continue to go or let them capture him? That was the question. If they tell me, stop there, I'll take that as a sign from God that I'm supposed to stop here and I'll let myself be captured. If they say, come here, then I'll take that as a sign. That means that I'm supposed to go there and we'll see what happens after that. He was going to do whatever they suggested and he was going to say that. That was that. The second answer was, what did you just say? I'm sorry, Ben Ellen?
Yeah, whether the sign makes sense logically.
There you go. If it makes logical sense, now what's the shot? If they say, stand there so that we can come to you, that means they're so self-assured that they're willing to go up to him. You got to help me with this a little bit, but they were self-assured, we'll be fine if we go up to you, we're not going to worry about anything to do. If they said, hey, you come up to me, then you come over here, that means they're overconfident. And overconfidence could allow them
also,
to be destroyed.
Also, if they're inviting him to them, they're playing defense, basically. He's going to
be on the offensive.
To them. So he's on the offensive, I guess.
Good. I forgot exactly what the line was, but it was around those lines. It was almost exactly that, and that's the definition that it says. But Zelenuos, and that's why you said it's not Nihush. That's why it was permitted. They both revealed themselves, right, to the master of the police. Right, Yomer police, the police said, "Ibrim Yotzi Menachorim Asher Yitzchabusham." Start making fun of them. Hey, look, the mites are coming out of their holes. Right, the Jews are coming out of their little caves that they were hiding in. The people started answering Yonasan, I mean, the person who was carrying his stuff. Yomer Alu Elenu, get over here. No Diaz Sam Gover. We want to show you something. Yomer Yonasan Onosi Caleb. Alayacharai, come after me. Can the son of Hashem be Yadi? So Hashem just put them in the hands of the Jews. Now Yonasan Al Yadav Al Radwa. Yonasan climbed on his hands and feet up the rest of the mountain. Onosi Caleb Akhor. Onosi Caleb was after him by Yiplu. Lifnei Yonasan Onosi Caleb and Moses Akharov. They fell in front of Yonasan, and the Onosi Caleb killed them afterward. Now remember, the only one who had a sword was Yonasan. Yonasan slayed one after the other, the entire outer guard. He killed 20, 30, 40 people, however many it was, and he didn't kill them. All he did was knock them down, switch the knife to Caleb. Whatever he was carrying, a big spear, a pitchfork, whatever he had, he killed them as Yonasan was throwing them down on the ground in front of him. That's what he was doing. Crazy, absolutely crazy stuff. There we go. The first makkah that Yonasan and his man made was about 20 men. In about an area of the yoke of where an ox can work inside a field. All of a sudden, everybody started getting afraid. Everybody was afraid. The land quaked. And they were afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They felt an earthquake underneath their very own feet. Now, there were outlooks. There were people looking, you know, with good eyes for Shaul by Givas Binyamin. So they were looking outside, and all they saw was a massive uprising. All the Pelishtim started getting up and fighting themselves. And they're looking at this, and they're like, something's happening over there. Something's going on. Count up, please. Let's see who's missing. They're missing two people out of the 600. It was Yonasan and his guy. Bring forth the Aron of Hashem. At those days, the Aron was together with Bnei Yisrael. Now, which Aron was this? If it was the Aron Kodesh, the real Aron Kodesh, that would be a tremendous sin. The first time they did that, Hophni and Pinchas brought it out and it was terrible for them. So that's not the thing to be able to do. It can't be it was that. So there's two answers to the kasha.
But the Hophni and Pinchas?
I'm sorry?
Was he Hophni and Pinchas?
No.
He was Aramal.
No, but it was a sin. You can't bring out the Aron Kodesh from where it is. You can't do it for your own purposes. So there's two answers to the kasha. Number one, B'Tzala made another Aron. If you made another Aron, that means there was a second Aron that was made to bring out to war. That was the Aron brought out to war. The Ramban brings that up, and that's where the broken luchos were. It was a wooden Aron made by Moshe Rabbeinu where they put the broken luchos in before he went up to Shemayim. That was one answer, and that's the Aron. The other answer is, it's simply a box where they had the Urim Netumim. That's all it was. They put the Urim Netumim. No, because it was made of wood as opposed to gold for the Aron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it was for the Urim Netumim, then it was just a box.
But the Pshat in the Torah seems that there was an Aron, and doesn't mean that they went with him to war. It says Aron Brit Hashem, when the Jews were told they're sitting in the desert for 40 years, and people go up to say, we're going to fight, because Aron Brit Hashem stayed in the mountain with Moshe Rabbeinu. So that implies that
like
when they went to war,
Aron that went to war. Maybe it was the Urim Netumim that went to war. It says the Aron stayed with Moshe. It didn't say the Aron went with the war.
No, that's my point.
That means the Aron stayed with Moshe, but the Urim Netumim would have gone.
No, because this was a war that was not sanctioned by God. They went up without Hashem's permission to go fight in the Adam Alek in the south. This is when Hashem told them the Meraglim came back, they're going to stay, they're going to die in the desert. So people went up and said, okay, we're going to...
Hold on. They did not bring an Aron there.
Right, but that's my point. The Torah says Aron and Moshe stayed in the Machaneh and didn't go with them.
There was an Aron that normally went out to war. I hear it. That does make sense. Okay, that was bad.
Here everybody says it's the Urim Netumim. Not even that it was in a box.
Yeah, but then the question is why called the Aron? But the answer is
that it was the closest thing.
Yeah. But yeah, Dibur Torah wasn't really. Not really.
We took our own back from the Plishtim, right?
Yeah.
But it was somewhere else.
Yeah, they could have gotten it. Either way, Vayi'ad Dibur Sol al HaKohen, before Sol was able to speak to the Kohen, the Homan Asher B'machan HaPlishim, he saw the crazy stuff going on in the Machan HaPlishim, Vayilach HaLoch Barav, it got worse and worse. Vayi'ad Sol al HaKohen, Esop Yedav. You know what? Forget it. Mistake number two. If you're going to bring out the Urim Netumim, bring out the Urim Netumim and ask the question. Don't say, let's go. He was harried. And listen, I don't blame anybody. You're under that amount of pressure. I hear that. You can definitely be blamed for doing such a thing, but you cannot do that. But he's like, Shol, the whole Amasharito, Shol, and all the people who were with them were deployed. They have Oad and Melchama that came to the war that already was happening. There was a war going on without them. Each man was killing their friend. All the policemen were unbelievably confused. There was only Onason and his guy, and they were destroying everyone. The policemen were killing themselves, one after the other. Yeah.
Shol made two mistakes. But both mistakes were well had good intentions.
Well, that's, yeah. That's the reason why he still showed them out. But Ibram Ayula Plishim Kashmir still shown. The Ibram, right, there were some Jews that were fighting with the Plishim because they lived among the Plishim. They were around the Plishim the whole time. Like they were before. They had come up with them in their camp and they were around them. They started fighting for the Jews that were with Shaul and Yonasan. All these Jews that were captured by that Plishim that were fighting for the Plishim, they started fighting against the Plishim together with Shaul and Yonasan. All these Jews that were hiding in Har Ephraim. Ephraim's always that guy that comes a little bit late to war. Remember in Gidon? Remember in Yiftach? Ephraim comes late to war. Shamu Kinasu Plishim, that's not why. You're not on their level yet. Shamu Kinasu Plishim, they heard the Plishim running away. By Yadbiku Gamhim Achraim Bamochama. They also came up against them. They got involved in the war. By Yosha Hashem Bayomahu Esisovem Mochama Abraz Beis Oven. The people were saved. Hashem saved Bnei Yisrael. The war went all the way to Beis Oven. Do you have the map in there? The Miyamboi has an unbelievable map of what it was supposed to be. They started off right around here. Where was it? Darn, we're never going to find it.
Nichmas is right here.
Nichmas. Beis El, somewhere around there. So Giva, right? And that's that. And where did they go to? They went all the way to Beis Oven. Look for Beth Avon. Beth Avon. I don't know if we're going to be able to find it. Dang. It was far. It was a really far run that they went. It was right around, but it wasn't. It was right around there, though. Okay, we'll see a little bit. I'll try to bring the thing next time. They went around to Beis Oven, right? And Chav Dalet, these are only because by Yomahu, a man of Yisrael approached them that day, the Yol Sol at the Lamor, and Sol had cursed the people that day, saying, "Arur Yisrael Yochol Lechem Ad Erev." Nobody is eating bread until this night. And he comes to him, "We're going to take revenge against my enemies. We'll talk Kol Am Lechem, and therefore nobody would eat any bread." So nobody allowed themselves to eat bread. Now notice the word, by the way, nobody should eat bread until then. Kol Aretz Bo'u, all the people, all the land came by Yar to the forest. What it means is everybody around came to the forest. Yidivash Al Pnei HaSadeh, there was honey all over the field. Now what was honey exactly? Honey can refer to obviously bees honey, can refer to date honey. Seems here though it was something a little bit different. It was sugar cane. There was sugar cane growing all throughout the area.
It makes sense that this was dates though.
I don't know.
So the dates are all over the place.
Rashi says Divash Kanin Godal Be'eretz Yisrael. It's honey and sticks that grows in Eretz Yisrael. So sugar cane is how it's translated. Meaning Halech Divash, right? The people came into that forest. The honey was everywhere, but nobody would put their hands to their mouths to taste the honey. They were worried about the shvua that Shalom Melech made. Yonatan had no idea. He had never heard it that his father had sworn to the people. He sent out the edge of his staff that he had. He dipped it into the forest of honey. That, by the way, Yaros Devash is the name of the sefer that Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz wrote on his Joshus. An awesome sefer. Why it's called Yaros Devash is a little bit beyond my seichel. But Yashav Yadu Al Piva Torona Enav. He put his hand to his mouth and his eyes were lit up. He had been fighting all that day since the night before. This is the first thing that he'd eaten all day. All of a sudden his eyes were completely lit up. But Yan Ishmael, the people looked from the people. They called out loud. Your father had made the people swear, saying, "Arur Yisur Yochol Lechem Ayom," that nobody's allowed to eat today. By Yochol Am, everybody's tired, everybody's weary. How could you do this? My father has destroyed or withheld everybody from the land. Runak Yiroru Einai. You see, my eyes are all lit up now. I have a little bit of honey. If everybody eats a little bit, we'll be able to chase after them with even more vigor. Now we're not going to eat from the spoils of our enemies that we have found up until now, because we're not going to have as big of a makkah among the pollution. We're not going to do what we wanted to do. They killed on that. They killed all the pollution from Michmash all the way to Ayalon. Ayalon is led by Shalvin. By Alpha Amod, the people were unbelievably tired. And that's when they stopped. They couldn't do it. They went back to the spoils. They took sheep, cattle, and even children of the cattle. Now, you're not allowed to shech a mother and its child on the same day. They shecked it all on the ground. They ate it together with the blood. Three different perushim, what exactly they did. Some say they ate it before they sprinkled the blood as korbanos. Some say they ate it together with the blood. They didn't salt it at all. Some say that they were so hungry they started drinking the blood. Okay? There were mamish all over the place. They told Shaul, saying, the people are sinning by eating on top of the blood. You've done terrible things. Bring me a huge stone. Shaul said, spread among the nation, or announce among the nation. Tell them, everybody bring me his ox and his sheep. You should check it here by this one, so I'll make sure that everything goes well. You should eat and you won't sin to God by eating on the blood. They all approached each man with their ox that night and they shechted it there. Some of them were probably unbelievably starving. They were working all day on this. They all started shechting it there. But even Shaul built a mizbech to Hashem there. Also Hechel Livnos mizbech to Hashem. This was the first of the mizbechos that he had built for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaul said, let's go after the Plishim tonight, then avoz abahem, and let's go and destroy the rest of them at Oral Boker until the light of the morning. Below Nishar Bahem Ish. That way no one will be left. By the way, Chazal tell us that this night was the night of Pesach. Vayomru kol atov beinecha, say whatever's good in your eyes, let's do. But they were dead tired. Vayomru hakohen nikuv al domel Elohim. The Kohen said, remember Achia, he said, why don't we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu first? Why don't we ask him that first? Saul asked that Kodesh Baruch Hu, should I go after the police and sit in Biyad Yisrael? Will you give them into the hands of the Jews? Well, no, by Yom HaKuf. Guess what? Didn't answer him on that day. Now that cannot be. Because if you don't get answered by the Urim and Thummim, what do?
Pray?
No, you get another Kohen Gadol. That means the Kohen Gadol wasn't worthy. There's no way he wasn't answered at all. And we see that from David HaMelech. Like David HaMelech, he asked Avyasar to look into the... To look into the Urim and Thummim, and Tzadok wasn't answered. So he brought in Avyasar, and Avyasar was answered. Because he knew that it was the Kohen Gadol's fault. Here, Lo Ano B'Yomahu is not Lo Ano at all. It's Anahu Lo. He was answered. The answer was, no. Stop right now. Don't go any further. But Shaul couldn't understand it. Why am I stopped here? What did I do wrong? Yomer Shaul, Geshu Alom, Kol Pinos Aom, gets me all the corners of the people. Let's see, what was the sin today? Ki Chai Hashem Moshiach Yisrael, by the life of God that saved Bnei Yisrael, Ken Yeshno B'Yonas HaMini, even if it's by Yonas and my son, Ki Mos Muzi will surely die, Ve'enu Naomi Kolom, but nobody wanted to answer. The people knew that Yonas had sinned, but nobody wanted to say anything, that he was the one that was over on the Avera. But he had said it out loud. And once Shaul said that and the people were silent, all of a sudden he was like, uh-oh. Now he realized. Something's up. The Emerald called Yisrael, tempt you, everybody on one side, we'll be on the other side. The Emerald, Amel Shaul, Hatobi Nechase, do whatever is good in your eyes. The Emerald, Shaul, Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Hava Samin, bring over and show us what to do. Yonas and Shaul were caught, the rest of the people were not. In other words, the Urim and Thummim lit up for Shaul and Yonas. The Emerald, Shaul, put the Goral in between me and my son Yonas, and Yonas was captured. Yom Shaul, Yonas, and Agidul Yimasisa. Tell me, what did you do? Agidul Yonas, and Yomer. Tom Tom to Bixam, Matash, Shabidi, Matavashi, and Yamus. Listen, I tasted with a little bit of honey, and I should die. Now, Yonas had an unbelievable reason why he shouldn't die.
He never heard it. Yeah.
Number one, he never heard it. Number two, he never ate bread. He ate honey. Number three, he was not, if it goes anywhere, Yonas had just done this massive Yeshua and Klal Yisrael. On that day, he should die for something like this? How could that possibly be? But to show the tzidkus of Yonas, he said nothing. He said, I ate from the honey, I should die. Now granted, the Urim and Thummim already had to catch him. He didn't know if he did anything wrong, but once the Urim and Thummim caught him,
he did something wrong.
Anything I did wrong, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I thought I did something right, but it doesn't matter. The Urim and Thummim caught me, I'm wrong. And he was modit to the chait, and he was ozeit. He was ozeit to the chait and said, I would never do this ever again, even though he knew, or he thought, he was 100% right. Perhaps, you know what's funny? He might have been wrong. That might not have been the sin. He might have been okay in eating the honey, because he didn't hear it, and it was the honey, and the issue happened to him, but there was one thing he did wrong.
He talked badly about his father.
That's what he did. He talked badly about the king. And that's the possibility that he did something wrong. Nobody thought of that. Because Yonas was saying it out of just adrenaline pumping through his system.
That's ridiculous.
Again, Hakaz Kamayim. He's a bit impetuous. He got up there and he said it without saying it. You're going to have to die. The word of a Chacham comes true. Even though Yonas said, Shaul says it over here, and Yonas was not killed, as we'll see, the people got up and they're like, shush, no way. Nonetheless, Yonas is going to die. And that's what's going to happen. We'll stop with this for right now. We're on Men Hey.